lager temperatures. Keep this 10% ABV smooth and delicious. Newfangle your perspective.
Looks completely different from the last one.
So light.
It has a pillowy head.
Yeah, a huge pillowy head.
It's interesting.
And a lot of hops on the nose.
Yeah. I don't know that I would call this English barley wine.
Would you call this a barley wine at all?
Well, it's not quite as viscous as a barley wine for me.
No, I would not call this a barley wine.
This is a barley wine in the sense that Dogfish Head 120 Minute IPA is a barley wine.
Yeah, this is a barley wine in that it says barley wine on the label.
Yeah, it needs a lot more hops, actually. It's funny, there's hardly any on the flavor.
But it's tons on the nose, but nothing in the...
Yeah, but it's kind of thin. It needs way more
there's
body.
There's no more
it's
body,
It's not a terrible beer. It's just, it's not a barley wine.
It's like a... You said this is 10%?
Yeah.
Triple IPA.
Right, but it doesn't have the bitterness I want.
No, it doesn't have the bite.
How about calling it an American? No.
Oh, a triple pale ale.
What are some of those British styles that are big but they're not barley wines?
Strong ale.
Yeah, American strong ale. Let's
American
call it
strong
that.
Ale. Okay. There you go.
It has
American
been
strong ale. Yes.
Here's a Sharpie, and I'm gonna just
it's
let you fix that.
It's a heck of an American strong ale.
Yeah.
Okay.
It tastes good. I like it.
The color though, it's like not, that threw me when I poured it. I was like, wait, what?
Needs way more bitterness, but.
Like a little more caramel malt or something.
Needs a little bit more depth, right?
Get a little more zhuzh, as my wife would say.
Okay. Well, we'll be back with more musings in just a minute.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf. Iridescent dunes reflecting by the line of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. We are in the middle of doing a barley wine episode.
/ strong ale.
I'll get to that in a second. So we are kind of revisiting the older days of our back catalog. And we did a Big Barley Wine Show in 2013 called the Big Barley Wine Show. We're not doing as many barley wines as we did that day, but we are revisiting some barley wines that we've had in the cellar or picked up recently, et cetera, et cetera. So
it takes a while to get the whole thing into your mouth.
Sometimes, yes. I'll leave it at that. Okay, so
save that talk for later.
Well, I mean, the more viscous and thick it is, it does take a while to get to the back
beer.
End of tongue. Sorry. Hello?
Facts.
But this one that we were talking about right before the break wasn't as viscous as the rest of them. And us collectively, instead of it being called a barley wine, we're thinking that it might be an American strong ale. What we were talking about is the various artists' newfangled perspective. This is a 10% ABV American barley wine / strong ale. What would you pair food-wise with this said beer? Burgers?
Yeah, something on the grill or something smoked, some kind of fatty meat.
I think this is the kind of beer like you would open it up and drink it while you're like cooking something on the grill.
Yeah, but you know what? Your accuracy is going to go down fast on that one.
Is this done or, God, it's on fire. Yeah.
Yeah, I think something smoky and fat.
You know, it just doesn't have the body, I think, is just what I keep coming back to.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
There's a couple things missing on this.
Maybe we could go back to them and tell them. Oh,
but
no,
it's,
well, no. Okay. What shall we rate this beer? Two. Okay. It's a two for a barley wine, as it's supposed to be labeled. But I think that if it was rated as or placed as something else, we might give
might
it
go a little higher.
A general or, beer. Let's yeah. just if it was just a beer that we didn't know what type of beer it was, and you were just like, "Is this beer okay?" Well, yeah,
yeah.
I drink just, this beer. It's just not exactly true to the stated style,
right?
Okay. Yes,
we'll now, call it mislabeled.
Okay, sure, sure. Now we have time for one more barley wine.
Oh, please.
Yes. Aye. Okay. Now this barley wine is something special. This is a J.W. Lee's, and we know how much good old boy Dave loves his J.W. Lee's.
Oh.
This is a 2001 Harvest Ale.
Now, when we did our barley wine on my pants episode, Vertical Sparky,
by court order,
this was the highest rated one, and that was in 2015. So it would have been about 14, 15 years old. Then, now,
here we are looking at a 24, almost 25 year old beer.
Oh my gosh.
So
wrap that around your head. And then smell.
Mm.
I know what I want to pair this with. Oh my God, the nose. I just want to smell it. God bless.
Wow, this is like a port to me, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It
wow.
Stops resembling beer at this age.
The viscosity on this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
zero carbonation in this thing. None. Like it's
no. But does it need any carbonation? No. Mm. Okay.
You know what I could see doing with this? Marinating some plums or something. Just a dark fruit and just let them kind of marinate. I don't know. Mm. That just...
Oh, wow.
Or yeah. some dates.
Yeah, some dates. Yeah, just some oh my God. Luscious dark fruit.
So much coffee.
For those of you that have never heard of J.W. Lee's, you need to find some J.W. Lee's. Like... I honestly don't think we've ever had a version of theirs that was really bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And when did you start collecting this?
2012.
Okay, 2012.
And yeah. where are they out of?
Middle Earth. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yes,
somewhere.
This is yes. brewed by hobbits.
Yes. There were the
Middleton,
people with,
Manchester, England.
Yeah, the people with the little furry feet.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I got you. Here's my dream.
Wow.
J.W. Lee's.
All right. Pairing. Do okay. it.
We're going to do a fresh one. Okay.
Yeah.
And with that, we're going to have Beef Wellington. And I'm not talking like Americanized Beef Wellington. There will be liver in the Ducelle that goes around it underneath the pastry. Okay.
Okay.
This sucker we're going to have for dessert with some sticky toffee pudding.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah. Very nice.
And our chairs will turn into recliners.
That's true. You're not going anywhere. But
no.
That's how we're doing this.
You're just going to sleep with a smile on your face.
Nappy time.
Yes.
Listening to Have You Become Comfortably Numb?
And the answer is yes.
I mean, there is just something so decadent and so beautiful, you know?
Yeah, I mean this.
When it's done right, it is.
And this is one of the ones that's the. It's pretty much the straight version. It's not like a Calvados,
right?
Right. None of their treatments.
Yeah.
They just. So I do remember their like Isla whiskey versions are just yum.
Yeah,
too.
Those are good too. Yeah.
Oh, with that iodine and the seaweed and that Band-Aid.
You are a weirdo.
She is a freak, but you know.
Hard pass.
Love me some Isla whiskey.
Mm-mm.
I know.
But this one's like, this is like going off of the one from Zebulon. You know, like this is like an English barley wine.
Yeah.
Like what it's supposed to be. It's like there's the coffee, there's the dark fruits, the leather, there's all those things.
I wonder like what it, like where does... Like the oldest J.W. Lee, like I wonder, like where does it just kind of stop? Like I wonder,
does it stop?
Yeah, does it?
Like when does it die? Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I've had them over. You know, this might be one of the older ones I've had, pushing 24, 25 years old. But wow,
but is this
they will
that
keep going.
Bad? Like, do you know what I mean?
Can we just sit for a second with how is 2001 24 years ago?
Right.
Could you imagine this in whiskey older terms?
Than Sparky's kids.
That's, yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, wait, is this older than your marriage?
Yeah, by 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's.
Dang.
Yeah.
Sparky was a single guy ready to mingle, probably running around East Tennessee.
Drinking barley wine and ramming into telephone poles.
Loving many ladies.
Yeah.
Okay, what shall we rate this wonder? Is there anything but okay, 10.
This brewery's still open. I'm just throwing that out there.
That's right.
Put me on a trolley.
I just, like, if this is what our forefathers drank, my God.
I only
like,
have one father, but I get it. You know what I
mean? My one father never drank this.
Like, way forefathers.
I wish he had.
Yeah. But really, like, founding fathers, you know, kind of thing. This is really, this is really, really good.
I want to drink one of these in harvest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or blend it in with some figgy pudding.
Yes. Or anything figgy, datey, something.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. Wow.
Good stuff.
Okay. Well, quite the episode.
Well, thank you for coming into town, Reverend Mark.
Hey, I'm here when you least expect it.
Well, that's going to do it. Good old boy, Kendall. Thank you so much for being here.
It was a pleasure. What a beautiful set of beers.
Yeah, right? Reverend Mark, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Wouldn't be the holidays without you guys around the table.
No.
Good old boy, Sparky.
I feel like I'm in a holidays.
Yes, you are. But thank you for wearing the rubber pants.
No, I did. It's much easier clean up.
Good old boy, Dave.
Hey, the only thing better than the barley wine is sharing it with good friends.
No. Yes.
So true. So true.
We didn't have any, so we got these guys.
This is good old gal Juliana. Thank you so much for joining us. Keep on chugging. Happy holidays and catch you next time.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Hello, my name is Matthew with CJSF Radio 90.1 FM. I am here with the band Stale.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Hey. They just finished their Studio 6 session, and we're now just going to do a quick introduction to get everyone hyped up to watch and listen to this. Can you guys introduce yourselves and what instruments you play?
Hey, I'm Eric. I play bass and singer as well.
I'm Trevor. I'm the drummer, and I also sing.
Aaron, and I sing and play guitar.
Cool, cool. So, I was first introduced to you guys when you were opening for Ivy Gardens, and something that you guys all just kind of mentioned is that you guys all take turns singing. I'm curious, how does that affect you guys' writing process?
I feel like it's just you got to keep it in mind, I guess, the whole time, because you're building vocals not just for one person. You're kind of building it for other people as well, obviously, clearly. It's cool just kind of thinking of, like, the skills that each of us have with our voices and kind of finding those golden moments to kind of... This would be a great moment for Aaron to really, like, belt out something emotional here, and a great moment for Trevor to have a really strong scream part. And, yeah, it's just kind of, like, considering that in the process of writing, yeah.
So do you guys all write lyrics, like, together then? Or is it like one person kind of writes lyrics and then you all cut up and divvy?
Different every time. I think when we first started, it would be like, you know, someone would come up with a line. But I think for the first chunk of our writings, it's been Eric a lot. You know, he is really good at kind of imagining our voices and what we could do all together and stuff. So he brings a lot of the ideas to the table and we hash them out and... You know, I think we're always open to each other's ideas, but I think Eric's got a lot of the juice in these first few songs that we've been writing.
Bring a little juice in, yeah. And then we kind of just build off of that. Get the baseline of, like, this is what we have the idea of, and then we kind of, well, I can do this even cooler if I do it this way. And then, yeah.
Workshop all together. It's always kind of the three sets of hands coming in and making it the final product.
Yeah. Oh, nice. No, that's awesome. So, kind of building on this, in November 2024, you guys put out Days Like This, you know, EP single. And one of the things that kind of stood out to me as I was listening to it was it's got this really dark, heavy, and super technical sound. Did you guys have a theme or an idea as you were building that EP up?
Honestly, it was just like three of the first four songs we had written, and we just wanted to get something in there. It felt right to kind of go right with our roots of writing. We'll pick our top favorite songs at the time. We only had, I think, like eight songs at the time when we did that. But yeah, like, that's kind of a theme just with our music in general. We tend to come home or come to a practice space after work, and we're a little tired and run down, and we have this dream that we want to kind of live out, and a lot of the songs are that energy of, like, let's just get that energy out that we want to express.
Dealing with a lot of dissatisfaction, I guess, coming out of work and, you know, just screaming it out twice a week.
No, that's totally fair, yeah. Like, as you guys are saying, you guys are, like, weekend warrioring, so that totally makes sense.
Yeah, instead of screaming into a pillow, we just scream into microphones.
Into microphones, yeah. No, that's good. That's interesting, because I was looking at you guys' Bandcamp page, and your tags include post-punk, post-hardcore, post-rock, and post-Malone. Shout out on that one.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I'm just curious, like, how would you guys describe your sound then?
I don't know. It's tricky. I mean, I'm always, like, really bad when it comes to genres and things like that. Like, really, it's a combination of all of the things that we like, right? Like, I don't know. We love, you know, Tool. We love Refused. We love bands that, like, give a lot of high energy and, like, more musicianship. But at the same time, we're all, you know, sensitive boys. We're all sweethearts. We listen to Elliott Smith. We listen to, you know, singer-songwriters. And, like, we want to have a broad spectrum of sound. I think it usually comes across a little bit more in the post-hardcore realm, just because that's, like, I don't know, maybe an influence of, like, kind of what the bass and drums are doing, but I don't know. It's really tough.
Grunge was a word that we used a lot in the beginning, but we also found ourselves not necessarily sounding like a lot of grunge bands or you know, taking those song structures. I think there's a lot of elements that we bring to the table with Stale, so it was hard for us. I think post-hardcore just covers a really broad range, and a lot of bands that start out really heavy and maybe they get a little bit lighter over the years, they seem to nestle into the post-hardcore genre. So we just kind of settled with that one, I think, but it might not be true.
Yeah,
I think basically, like, we like putting on a good show. We like making people want to jump around and dance, and we kind of just pull from whatever melodies and rhythms that kind of give that effect to us when we're playing it, and we want to make people feel that way inside and release themselves a bit as well. And that's kind of, it just has fit in post.
Very cathartic, I think, to just let it all out.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we're trying to do, is just stick to what we like in music, but also just kind of discover ourselves as well and try to stay as true to ourselves as possible.
Oh, okay. That's totally fair. So, Aaron, then, you know, because you were just talking about discovering yourselves and all this stuff, I kind of have to ask you a question about some of your earlier work. Specifically, I want to ask you a little bit about Lion in a Fire and Gray Eyes. What can you tell us about some of that stuff?
Digging deep. Well, Gray Eyes was the last band I was in Ontario. My partner and I decided to move out west, so I just had to kind of make that decision between, you know, am I going with the love of my life or am I going with the love of my life? So I went out west, and you know, I love those guys a lot. It was Mike and Matt. But I made the decision to come out west because I was kind of residing in the same place for a long time. So I just took the leap, took the risk, and didn't really have any prospects for music out here. I was just kind of, I think I was off stage for maybe 5 years before these guys came out. But yeah, Gray Eyes was kind of my maybe first attempt at this kind of band.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was three people and grungy, kind of posty, post-hardcore-y stuff. But yeah, I feel like this band is taking a totally different direction. But those are my homies.
Fair.
And Lion in a Fire, I was just, you know, I make a lot of music at home, a lot of singer-songwriter stuff, or sometimes it can be, I mean, just electronic. I experiment with a lot of different genres, and I didn't know where to put it, so Lion in a Fire was kind of something that I started, and then as I discovered myself, I realized, you know, I could just kind of be myself, Aaron Mangoff, and release music under that, so I kind of just put the kibosh on Lion in a Fire and deleted all that stuff and moved on.
Not well enough. I did find it, so.
yeah. I forgot the passwords, okay?
Okay, all right. Fair enough. So, with that being said, Eric and Trevor, I got to ask you a question about Civet Gemi Horror. What can you guys tell me about that?
That's our high school band. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was before we moved out. We were playing in my parents' garage, getting noise complaints and annoying them to no end. Yeah. But that's like our first dream, basically. That was what we were doing when we were kids. We worked on that for a lot of years before we found a different band and then moved out in Ontario, and then that band collapsed immediately. But
it's like our high school band, basically.
Our
first love.
Yeah, and these guys have known each other forever, so I'm just like the third wheel in the trio. What you guys have is special. Can I be a part?
No, that's totally fair, because I saw you guys did a junior achievement performance, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I think my dad filmed that.
Yeah. Daryl Day, right?
Yeah.
What is happening?
Oh, man. This is the city that Nardwar built, so we have to do this. You know? As he would say, you guys are a sterile band. We do need to know this. So.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I remember that. That was a good performance. It was fun. I think that was like one of our last ones, too. And then we disbanded. Our guitar player for the next band was in the audience of that performance, and he stole us. And then, we moved to Ontario, and then he broke up the band. So,
oh, shit. Now we're here. Oh, shit. Now you're here. No. That's like a really good segue, because I want to ask, like, how did the Stale Band come together in Vancouver? Like, did you guys all, or I guess you guys knew each other a little bit before from Ontario? Like, walk us through that.
We were on tour with our past band Rosewood Annie, and Aaron was on tour with Starved at the Root at the time, and we had one or two shows together. But the first time, how many shows did we do together?
I think
the tour?
We just met halfway through the little tour, and we played at least
like three or four stops.
Yeah, I guess more that was Starved at the Root's tour. We hopped on to play a couple gigs, is what I should say.
On the way back, it was from Ontario. We went out east and met them on the way back, essentially, and we played shows all the way back to Ontario.
Yeah, okay.
But we played New Brunswick. We met in a horrible place. Maybe we can save that story for later. Yeah. I don't know. But,
The next interview, you guys can get into that one.
We'll have to figure that one out next time.
Oh, okay. So you guys met with, Aaron's other older band, Starved at the Root, and like that was kind of how you guys started.
Yeah. And that's how we got to know each other, and then we were kind of just local bands together in Barrie, Ontario, where I guess I was in Orillia, but I lived in Barrie, and you guys resided.
And play shows together sometimes. Yeah, and
Gray Eyes,
hang out.
Rosewood. And
yeah.
Grab some drinks.
Hang out at Aaron's place and chat late into the morning sometimes. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And then when I made the move out, I saw that Rosewood had kind of, well, I don't know if they were kind of going through different member changes. I'll leave that to you guys, your business. But I basically took the opportunity, knowing that they had moved from out east to Ontario to play music. I knew they would maybe do an even bigger dive and go all the way out west. So I was just working in a warehouse job, and I just reached out to Trevor. I think I just kind of had the idea, like, hey, if you guys make it out here, we could probably all work at the same place and give it one real go. So here we are four years later now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess, so if I got the timeline right, the band was officially formed in 2022, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's when we arrived in Vancouver.
Yeah.
I'm not mistaken, or is it 2021?
I don't know
what we're doing. No,
I think it was 2021, and then once we got the ball rolling, we just kind of said the band was born.
Our first jam was in, I think, November of 2021, and then we were just hiding in a hole for years.
Yeah. Just trying to make music and figure out
what we're doing.
Yeah. But honestly, like the first riff that like Aaron came up with, we still play that song like on any set that we set up. So it's a lot of our music has stuck with us from the beginning. We tend to like nail into the coffin just like every song. We make sure that if it's not working, we get rid of it, and if it is, then we really like stick to it. So we've kind of anything we've made, we haven't actually like set aside. It's just been
fair. So do you guys find that like some of the songs or ideas from before you bring back up into new stuff, or
probably like subconsciously little riffs will make their way back in, but like we just spent a lot of time constructing like what we think is like the perfect little nugget basically, and that's kind of it.
Nice. So then like, how have you guys found the Vancouver scene, like, now that you've been here for a few years? We were talking earlier before the show about how, Eric, you were saying it's kind of hard to find shows that you guys really slot into. Like, how's the scene treating you guys?
Yeah, I feel like the scene here is great. There's so much good music, so many great bands, and we always have a blast meeting new bands and going to new venues. But we've had, like, a rare set of gigs that were like perfect for our kind of genre that we play, and some of those, sadly, like Grey Lab was like probably like the best spot for us. We had amazing shows there, and it was always like the bills made perfect sense for like who was playing in what order and whatnot. But that place kind of died. But there's more places around, but yeah, it's just kind of working hard to get on those bills that we want to get on, and that's really it.
No, that's fair. So are there any bands that you guys have been watching or listening to recently in the Vancouver scene or in the Canadian scene that you guys want to give a shout out to?
Yeah, I'll say Gadfly. They practice right next to us, and they're awesome. Super cool. Like, really cool. Worth checking out. Sundress is really cool, too. We played a couple shows with them this past year, and they're great. They're just great.
I don't know if they're disbanded. Maybe they got back, but I was there with Chain Whip had a show with Pack Rat, I believe, and both of those bands were really sick. I was really blown away just by like just the raw punk energy. I really like love punk rock. No Means No was one of my favorite bands growing up, so to see like local bands kind of still doing that, I think is awesome. And then also a band called Banana House. I really enjoyed them. Yeah, they blew me away.
I think for me, Luella. I really like Luella, and they, from the get-go, they were really kind to us, and they were actually the first band to get us into Grey Lab, I think. Mm-hmm. And, it was natural, and I love their music. I listen to it all the time, and they've got new stuff coming out, so I think if you don't know Luella, definitely look them up. And then I was at the Rickshaw, and I saw Emma Golding, and that's some heavy stuff. It's pretty crazy. They have a good time live. There's like dance music between songs, and it's just grooving. And then super chaotic heavy music is what they do. So, yeah, those will be my two picks.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. This is Stale, the band. We're going to be releasing, or is it the band Stale? Which one do you guys?
It's just Stale.
Stale. All right, cool. So this is Stale on CJSF Radio. We're going to be dropping that Studio 6 some point in the near future, but this is part of the promo run. I just want to thank you guys again for coming out.